amen. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing there as well. And it's always a blessing having an opportunity to be in church on Wednesday night. And it's just a midweek boost, amen, just to encourage us to continue to live the Christian life as God would have us to be the witnesses, as reaching one, you got to have a testimony to be able to present that to others about them being getting saved. And so what a blessing it is to be here in church tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 4, Luke in chapter 4, Wednesday nights we have been for many, many years just going through on Bible characters, studying Bible characters. And every time I get into a new one, I hate that we're finished with the last one. I mean, I really enjoyed our study on Gideon, but each one comes to an end. And so we have to start another one. And this is our third or fourth message on the Apostle Peter. And I am being blessed tremendously in the preparation of studying and preaching and teaching what the Bible has for us to learn from the Apostle Peter. The Bible, it's unlike any other book you'd ever read. It's God's Word, preserved exactly the way God wants it preserved, and gives us exactly what God would have us to learn. And so each one of the Bible characters and whatever the Bible has to say about that character, there's something to learn from that. And so it's been a blessing already studying the Apostle Peter. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading two verses tonight, Luke chapter 4, verse 38. The Bible says, "And he arose out of the synagogue," that's Jesus, "and entered into Simon Peter's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, again for an opportunity to be in church and for all that are here that took advantage of it. And I just pray now, God, that you would just give us an insight into your word. And God, that you would empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the Apostle Peter, we found, first of all, how his brother actually brought him to Jesus Christ. And so he was saved as a outreach of his brother's his home mission ministry, his Jerusalem. And we know that if we're saved, then our family is our first area of ministry. And we have an opportunity to talk to our families, and we need to be able to share with them the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then our extended families, and then our co-workers, and then whoever we come in contact with. And at the same time, we support missionaries to go into all the world to obey the Great Commission. And so we found that Peter was saved through his brother bringing him to Jesus. And then we find that Peter was called into ministry. And as Peter was called into ministry, it centered around, as Jesus taught him, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." All the ministries that God has for all of his servants will center around the one ministry of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the song, the special was right before, the messenger, each one reaching one, we can reach more. But what a difference it would make if every Christian would have at least one convert. I mean, wow, I think it would make an impact in your society. It would make an impact in your place of employment. It would make an impact on your family. Because if you're saved in your family, you might be the only one saved. And it will. If you get one other family member, now you have two. That's whose mission is to reach the family. And the more you get saved in that family, the more you have working toward getting all the others saved. And whether it's a first generational Christian family or a second or third or fourth or whatever it is, it has to start somewhere. And so all the ministries, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, establishing Christianity. And Christianity is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we find that this is where Peter's at. Peter has been called. Peter's been saved. He's called. His ministry that he's called to is to follow Christ. It centers around being fishers of men. And now we find as Peter, now he's saved, he's following Christ. And we find here in Luke in chapter 4 and verse 38 that they were in church on Sunday. Now, at this particular time, of course, it was a synagogue and they met on Saturdays. Jesus established Sunday as being the Lord's Day for New Testament Christianity after he resurrected from the grave. Amen. So we know that that's what was established. Before then, the day that they were to acknowledge God and to assemble together as they did in the Old Testament would have been on the Sabbath day. And so we find that they were there, the Bible says, and he arose out of the synagogue. So we find that the disciples, Peter being with them, and possibly even, I believe, Peter's family that was with him, they were all there in the synagogue on this particular day of worship. Well, what happens after this, and I've entitled this message tonight as we're studying this, is a defining event in Peter's family's life. A defining event in Peter's family. Because it would be the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. If all mother-in-laws could get saved. Amen. That's right. Hey, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, and father-in-laws as well, I guess. But anyway. The Bible talks about Peter's wife's mother, a defining event in Peter's family. Why? Well, first of all, what's taught here is that Peter was married. Peter had a wife. Now, to some that believe that Peter was actually the start of the Roman Catholic Church, the first pope, I think that would blow a lot of holes in that. But we find here the Bible very clear in revealing to us it was Peter's wife's mother. So what's taught is that Peter was married when he was called to follow Christ. So now Peter, and this is still early on, in his ministry. He's just been saved. He's just been called. He now has determined, he decided to leave his business as a fisherman, to forsake his business, his occupation, and to follow Jesus. And Jesus is going to use him to become fishers of men. Now that one fly, whatever kind of a bug that is, don't let that distract you tonight, okay? It's going from one side to the other. It should be dead at this time of the year, but anyway. Probably come in the flowers we brought in, but anyway. So stay focused here. Stay focused here. Don't let that distract you here. So we find here Peter was married when he was called to follow Christ. Can you imagine him coming home? Peter's married. He has to come home and tell his wife, I've left the business. I'm unemployed. But I've already determined I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going on the road. And I'm following Jesus because he's the Messiah. And he called me to follow him. And so this has just happened. Now he has his wife and church to hear Jesus speak in the synagogue so that she for herself can see that this is the Messiah. And he says, oh yes, I've invited him over to the house after the service. Yeah, I mean, this is reality. Okay, you have to read, you have to understand this is what's going on. This is what is the defining event in Peter's family's life. He would tell his wife that their life would be different from this point forward. Matter of fact, the Bible, now the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about everything. We just have to know he was married. He would have to go home. He would have to explain this to them. Now they're all in the synagogue and they're listening to Jesus preach how he has fulfilled the Old Testament and now he has come to present God's revelation of New Testament Christianity. That's what's happening. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look there with me. Because as we study the Bible, we find that God will give us insight into what's taking place. So even with Peter now is going about, he is following the Lord, but he's married. How is he able to do that being married? My wife had asked me that last week or the week before, and I told her, just hold on, it'll come. We're studying the life. The Bible will give it a little insight into that. Well, you find here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, as the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and they were somewhat wanting to be helped to understand his apostleship. And in Paul explaining this, it gives us a little bit of an insight into Peter and his wife. The Bible says here in chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, am not I an apostle? Am not I free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? He's trying to help them to see that he is an apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. He established a church here, led them to Christ. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Now look at verse 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Okay, do you understand that Cephas is Peter? And Peter at this particular time is no doubt one of the great apostle Peters of the book of Acts. And so Paul is speaking of Peter when he says the apostles have been able to do their work in having their sisters with them. And even some, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. So I believe that what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and as he brings Peter into it, which Cephas was his name, it means a rock, which also means Peter. And so we find this is the apostle Peter. And he says, as Peter would have his wife with him from time to time. As he followed the Lord and did the things that God would have him to do, we find that his wife would have accompanied him, and possibly other of the apostles had others that were accompanying them, possibly some sisters. And so we find that it was something, then I love that because Peter's wife accompanying him would have been very much involved in his ministry. Historians would write that Peter's wife, we don't have this recorded in the Bible, but we do have it in recorded history concerning what happened to Peter. And the historians would write that Peter's wife was arrested after Peter was incarcerated, and they led her to be crucified before they took Peter to be crucified. And they would be crucified for their stance on their belief in Jesus Christ and Christianity, as there have been many martyred who stood for Christ through the centuries. But she would actually have faith, and she would not deny the Lord to the place where she would be crucified. And Peter was there to watch. When they prepared to crucify Peter, he would say, I am not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. His request was they would crucify him upside down. Isn't that something? Again, we know what the Bible says, and we know what recorded history says. And so understanding what happened at this particular time, this event, would have been a defining event in Peter's family's life. The healing of her mother, the miracle of healing of her mother, more than likely was a turning point, a defining event. Most of us, if you've been saved for a long period of time and you're serving the Lord now, you can possibly go back to a defining event that made a difference in your life. In my life, I know the defining event in my life was 1979. My father passed away. He was only 59 years of age. I had been running from the Lord. I was saved when I was 8. But during that time, I was running from the Lord, and my dad was actually an associate pastor. And he got a massive heart attack. And he passed away. I just remember standing over my dad's body after he had passed. And he passed right before I got there. I wasn't able to talk to him on his deathbed. But I walked into his hospital room after he had died, right after he had died. And it was a defining moment in my life because I realized my dad was gone, but God gave me a peace in the knowledge that I had of him being in heaven. And knowing that he was in heaven, he was still able to look down upon me on earth, or he would be in that great cloud of witnesses cheering on the work of Christ on earth. And that's what they are doing today. And it clicked for me. It was right after that I found an independent fundamental Baptist church. I was raised Southern Baptist. I wanted something more than that. I found an independent fundamental Baptist church where I started to attend. And from the very first service, I realized there's something different here. I'm actually learning things. It's like God is speaking directly to me in every service. And I stopped running from God. That very same year, my dad died in February. In August that same year, in that church, I met my wife. If I hadn't had that defining moment, I would have never met my wife. I would not have married her. I would not have raised our children in church. I would not have surrendered and become a youth pastor and then become a pastor. Some 40 years, a defining moment. God worked that in my life. As we go back to the story here, and why I see this being a defining moment, mainly because of his wife, because of changed everything in Peter's family. For she would have been supportive of whatever it took for Peter to follow the Lord. She would have been backing him in his endeavor to accomplish the things that God would have him to accomplish. She got involved to the place where she was willing to lay down her life rather than denounce Christ. Now, in this story, we find that it's in the book of Matthew in chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. It's also in the book of Mark in chapter 1 and verse 29 and verse 31. But Luke reveals something that God wanted Luke to reveal, because Luke was a physician. He was a doctor of that day. Luke was a physician. In Luke's writing, in his account of this healing of Peter's mother-in-law, he reveals the severity of her illness. The Bible says concerning her illness, mother was taken with a great fever. He emphasizes what's going on with her, and he says it is a great fever. She was not able to ask Jesus to come herself. She was bedridden, possibly even unconscious. She was not aware what was taking place. So we find here that what Luke reveals in the severity of her illness was that she was pretty much on her deathbed. The Bible says that it came suddenly. Wife's mother was taken with a great fever. That means that she could have possibly been in church with them on that Sabbath day. No one expected this. No one thought that this would happen. The Bible says in verse 39, they called Jesus, he came to look over her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. So it came suddenly, taken with, and as he rebuked it, it left, indicating this was a spirit, an evil spirit, indicating that this was brought on suddenly, and it was brought on not by natural means, and their sicknesses are brought on by natural means, for sure, we know this, but this was more than just that. This was something that Satan wanted to work as a hindrance to Peter, and a hindrance to Peter's wife, and a hindrance to Peter's family. This would be a trial. This would be a tremendous trial in Peter's family's life. Not just Peter. God knew exactly what he would call Peter to do. Peter would sacrifice and lay down his life, actually upside down. And how God would empower that and use that throughout the 2,000 years of Christianity. Looking back on that, and those that would have to face martyrdom between then and now, and all that have sacrificed, look back on some of the founding servants of Christ and what they went through. So the timing and the circumstances as well point to a spiritual warfare. Points to a trial that they would be going through. Now, there's several things we can learn here. They just left the synagogue. They were seeking food and conversation. Peter was thinking, I'm going to take him back to the house, and we're going to sit around there. We're going to have some fellowship. We're going to have some food, and we're going to ask him, going to have my wife open up and ask him whatever she wanted to ask him. He's my employer now. He's the one that I'm going to look to provide for our family. He's the one. Our lives are changing. We're in the ministry, and we're going to follow him, and he's going to make us fishers of men, and we're going to do some amazing things following the Messiah. But my wife needs to be on board. And so I'm going to bring Jesus back over, and her mother-in-law are going to be able to ask him whatever they want to ask him. Her mother, actually, can ask them whatever, because, quite honestly, the mother-in-law probably needed to be on board as well for his wife to be on board and to do whatever it was they were getting ready to do and going out with Jesus for ministry's sake. Amen. I trust it's coming together. We're understanding this. So as they were looking to this and they had it planned out and what was going to take place, but there's a spiritual warfare that's taking place on planet Earth. Satan is going to oppose anything that is supporting of Christ. Satan is going to oppose anything that God is for. That's that warfare. That's a spiritual warfare. Can I tell you, I know that, and I've known that for a long, long time. In the ministry, the most important day in my life has always been for 40 years, because right after we got married, we come home, and I was thrown into ministry, if you will, to start with. I was in Bible, we started going to Bible college at the same time. I was in ministry, youth ministry, and they needed full time, and so I surrendered and we started working full time in the youth ministry and trying to get my education through night classes and correspondence and all the different things. Raising a family, found out my wife was pregnant, and all the things were taking place during that time. But I realized Sunday, because that's when I would preach and teach the Word of God. And if we was going to have a fight, I just found out Sunday would be especially Saturday night. There's something that would take place. And so we got together and said, wait a minute. We have to be on our best. I need to be on my best on Sunday. I need to have a clear mind. I need to make sure that I've got the support of my wife. I've got the support of my family. And we're doing this together. And so we made a pact. We would never bring up anything negative on Saturdays or Sundays. We would be in complete support of each other, no matter what. Whatever she asked for, yes, you can have it. I'm sure glad she didn't take advantage of that, amen? She was a little more spiritual than that. But why did I do it? Because I know Satan doesn't want me clear-minded going to the pulpit. As a pastor, this is how I work. I don't know how other preachers do it. I know I've got to keep my mind focused on the messages. And so I just determined that I would stay in my office until time to come out and come to the platform. Because before I determined to do that, it seemed like when I would come out, I would be filled with every negative thing that could be filled in my mind. When I would come out, I would have members come up and praise the Lord, I'm their pastor, I understand that. But I don't need to know about your affair last night before I go to the platform. And it happened. I mean, I had somebody come up to me. I mean, right before I'm going, preacher, I messed up last night. And my wife's going to leave me. I'm thinking, I don't need that right now. I'm preaching on divorce, you know, or whatever it might be. I don't need to have you in my mind when I'm thinking about feeding the flock of God and preaching the Word of God. And so I determined that what I'm going to do, I'm going to protect my mind for the sake of the whole congregation. Yeah. And that's just how I roll, if you will. That's how I have to do it. Some guys can come out, they can hear all that, put it aside. I can't do that. I can't do that. Because I want to help people. And when I understand you have a need, I'm thinking about helping you, what I can do to help you. And I lose sight. Why is that? Because I know that we're in a spiritual battle. How many of you can think back and say, you know, yeah, it's Saturday night or Sunday morning when I burn the toast, or this happens, that happens, and we don't go to church because we're yelling at each other. How can we go to church acting like this toward each other? And if you do come into church, you're nowhere near ready to receive what God has for you because your mind's on something else, and you've just messed up, or this has happened and that's happened. And can I tell you that Satan steals from us that which God has for us? Sundays are important, and Satan would love to hinder them. Peter's family was babes. Christ had just presented his ministry. John the Baptist, 6 months before that, had started preaching. His brother had followed him. Now that Jesus is here, and now he brings Peter to Jesus. And now Peter goes home and tells his wife, wouldn't believe what happened to me today. And then right after that, he comes home and says, hey, we just sold the business. We turned away from him. We're following the Lord. This is full time. On and on and on. So understand what's taking place here. They hear him teach and preach in the synagogue, and they go home. And the one that was going to help cook and get everything together was her mother. And now she's on her deathbed. They face a great trial. Because Satan wants to destroy, discourage, defeat through trials. But can I tell you, we determine the results of trials. We determine the results. God designed it that way. Jesus knew what would take place. He knew what this young couple would be going through ahead of time. He allowed it. He didn't cause it, but he would have had to allow it. And he knew that it would be determined by Peter and his wife. What would happen in this trial? In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me just read it to you. And I love this because it's 1 Peter. Peter would write this after Peter experienced this. God would use Peter to write this later on, but Peter experienced this. Possibly the first trial that Peter would have to face. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, who now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. If there's a need for that, if God allows it, there has to be a need for this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. If you're in a trial, if you're going through something as a born-again believer, if you handle it the way God wants you to, then it's going to take away some of the dross from the gold. It's going to purify your faith. It's going to do just what the Bible says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when we go through these trials, realizing, no one wants to go through trials, but when I go through them, I've got to know that the outcome is determined by me. Wow. God's servants are not exempt from trials. Yeah, no. Matter of fact, when you start serving God, you're going to have more trials than you had before you started serving God. Because Satan had you where he wanted you when you weren't in church, when you weren't serving God. You had no testimony. You had no influence for Christ. Wow. Psalms 34, let me read this to you. I got to quit here, but I got a couple things I wanted to share before we do that. Psalms 34, verse 17, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Did you understand that? They're in a lot of troubles. The righteous will go through troubles. The difference is when they cry out to God because you are righteous, God hears your cry, and he delivers you. Amen. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. If you remain righteous. If you remain focused on God. If you remain focused on God when you're going through the trials of life, whatever they might be, you're going to come out on the other end stronger than what you were going into that trial. But you'll determine the outcome. Jesus would teach the disciples, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. They were all ready to be crucified. They were all ready to lay down their lives as Christ had done for them, if that would be the will of God for their lives. Spiritual warfare was taking place. It's still taking place on earth. Still taking place in your home. Still taking place in your place of employment. It's still taking place in the church. In the church? Yeah, in the church. There's spiritual battles being fought. There's spiritual warfare that takes place. Yeah. I believe she would have died. Verse 38, go back there with me. They besought him for her. I believe they thought she was going to die. They besought him for her. Who do you think was the two in the forefront of seeking Jesus to come to put his healing hand upon her? I guarantee you it would have been Peter and Peter's wife. The blessing of it is, Jesus was in the house. If he had not have been in the house, they wouldn't have had him to turn to. If they had not agreed to follow him, he would not have been in their house. If they had not accompanied him to the synagogue and invited him back over to that, he would not have been in the house. But in facing this trial, Jesus was in the house. And they had him to turn to. What are you going to do if you don't have him to turn to? When you face the death of a loved one, you face some bad news, and you face this trial, and you face that trial, do you think you're going to be able to get through that trial and learn all that God wants you to learn from that trial if you don't have Jesus in the house? I love that. We sing a song. Four 51. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptations sore. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? If he's in the house. Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Need to make sure Jesus is in the house. They asked. He answered. His will was accomplished. His will for Peter's wife's mother, was to lift her up. His will for my dad in my defining moment, take him on to glory. I don't think it would have impacted my life as much if God would have lifted him up. Only God knows how it's going to impact us. It wouldn't have been a defining moment, I do not believe, if Dad would not have died. I prayed for God to lift him up. But God gave me the peace of knowing he's in glory. And it was a defining moment that changed my path on life. Most of us have one. If you haven't, it's right around the corner. There'll be something. Well, to determine, help you to determine how you're going to come out on the other side of a trial. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law was a defining event in Peter's family's life. Amen. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. After this, ministry would follow. Peter's ministry, Peter's wife's ministry, and Peter's wife's mother's ministry would be sold out to Christ. They would show their gratitude through serving the Lord. Wow. I'm not going to have a musical invitation, but there's always an invitation. Has there been a defining moment, a defining event in your life that you might have even forgotten about? Satan's blinded you to it. Something that would get you on the right road in serving the Lord. How important it is to have Jesus to look to when we go through the trials of life. Father, we bow before you and love you, Lord. Thank you for the truths of your word, and especially as we study the life of the Apostle Peter, knowing the end of his life and how he would have the faith to end his life the way he did in serving you. Lord, help us to continue to gain this wisdom and insight and help through the life of the Apostle Peter. As we get ready to leave here tonight, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.